It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. We're going to read with the first verse again there to catch ourselves up down to the sixth verse, but we'll begin with verse 1. And so Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to check out our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Got many studies there. I hope that you would enjoy them, come to know the Lord Jesus, and then grow as well. And if you'd like to email us, it would be at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will be just fine. So I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. We're going to have a great study, Acts chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judah, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in all parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, and Jews, and proselytes, Cretes, and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues wonderful words of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meanest this?" And others mocking them, saying, "Men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and the vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." A lot of reading there. We're not going to get near that far. We're going to spend a little bit more time concerning the tongues, and so that we understand it properly. But let's begin with prayer now before we continue any further. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity today to come together to enjoy your presence and your power. Father, please that you forgive and set us free. We come to you. We know that because you have died on your Son, Jesus has died on the cross and shed his blood for us, that if we come by faith to you and understand and believe that we're an old sinner. We're rotten. We've got nothing of value. And yet you came and you found us and you saved us. All we need to do is call upon you. Thank you, Father, for the salvation that you hand us. But please help us to all understand that it is a time when we need to call upon you. We need to accept you as our Savior. It's not something that just happens, not just something that just kind of evolves, but it's a decision and it's a day. Thank you, Father, for that opportunity, and thank you for the salvation you've handed. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have come to the verses of Scripture, and we've looked through this chapter, spent some time last time, and we're going to continue a little more time because I want you to understand the need to be a servant of God and not be confused with some of the gifts that were given to these early church, to the early church. The reason that those gifts were given was to prove the Word of God. Now we have the Word of God from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. We have God's precious Word. And I believe that those gifts left with the apostles. It was their gift. They were given that special power. And we're going to spend some time today looking at this. And I want you to see and to know, and we know that the fruit of the Spirit, and this should help give you some guidance, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's the fruit that comes from a believer. Now, you see in there, nothing is mentioned concerning someone having special power to touch someone and heal them. You also see nothing concerning the tongues. And so we're going to spend some time today looking at that. And so I want you to see that, and as we talked last week, we're together there, because as we dealt with some of this last time, we went through several things that we found in the book of Corinthians, and in going through the book of Corinthians, we find that there was a reason Paul spent so much time trying to bring the church of Corinth back to something that was pleasing unto the Lord. And they are the only ones that are confused. They're the only ones that were mixed up with the tongues. And so I want you to see that. And the Church of Corinth is not a strong church. There is something in the Word of God that we need to understand, and that is that God is not a God of confusion. He is a God of peace, a God of contentment. Everything is in a decent and respectable order. Everything. Now, we're going to spend some time here back and forth in the Scripture, but let's go, first of all, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Doesn't get much clearer than that. Again, there is no confusion. When the Holy Spirit is in charge, things are in order. There is no other record that this ever happened again, except at Pentecost. I read back in Acts from verse 9 down through verse 11, countries and areas that were present at Pentecost. There was a great reason, a great purpose for God to allow these folks, these Galileans, as the scripture says, to speak in the language that each understood, because the Holy Spirit had just come, the birth of the church. And the only words that they heard were words of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that were present there, of all those lands and all those peoples, they heard it so completely, so clearly, in their own tongue or their own language. That was the purpose. But again, there is no other record that this ever happened again. There's no mention of the gifts of tongues anywhere else other than in John 19:6. So let's go to John 19:6. Must be a mistake in my recording it, because that is not the right scripture verse. I apologize. As we look at each one of these, and we're going to go to several examples here that we're going to look at, and I wonder what the scripture verse. I sure hate to miss one here. But as we look at these verses of scripture, okay, we'll go on with others. Again, there is no mention. There is one other place, and I apologize that I had misquoted the scripture here, where they did speak, but it was, a known language. And I'm going to give you some examples here, because I want you to be stable in the Word of God. I want you to understand the Word of God. Doesn't it seem strange that when Philip led the Ethiopian eunuch to salvation, that he said nothing concerning the tongues? Because you see, at that time, the Holy Spirit came into the heart of the Ethiopian eunuch, period. But the tongues was of no importance. We look at another here. And you can find that with the Ethiopian eunuch back in Acts chapter 8. You can read it for yourself, verse 26 through 39. The tremendous story of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the tongues is of no importance. Lydia was converted under Paul, but no instruction was given concerning to be baptized of the Spirit or the gifts of the tongues, because that's what people seem to hunger for. My dear friend, the day that you say yes to Jesus, the day that you acknowledge that you're a sinner and say, Jesus, please come into my heart and save me, is the day, my friend, that the Holy Spirit comes as a person, comes and lives within your heart. You need to surrender, but you're never going to get any more of the Holy Spirit, because you got the person of the Holy Spirit the day you were saved. And the purpose of the tongues, the known languages, was to get the gospel out on the day of Pentecost. Another one is the Philippian jailer, when Paul and Silas led his whole household. No mention of, now, you need to be baptized of the Spirit. You need to speak in tongues. No mention of that whatsoever. You know why? because it is of no importance. God has given us his precious word. And if he would choose on a day for you to speak the gospel, not nonsense. He said, no, it was real. I know it was real. You'll never convince me that it wasn't something of God. Well, again, the Church of Corinth is a carnal, cold church. They're the only ones that are mixed up in this. That should tell you something. That should tell you something. Stephen was stoned to death. He was a preacher of the gospel, and there is no mention that he ever spoke in tongues. Never. You say, well, it just doesn't tell us that he did. If it's such a big deal and if it's so important, why doesn't God's word record it? Let's take a look at the Church of Ephesus. This is very important. I think if I've got it correct here, 20th chapter, beginning to read with verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. This is Acts chapter 20, verse 17, beginning with verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God, and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. There's no mention of the tongues, nor of different languages. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. See, the Church of Ephesus is a different church than the Church of Corinth. Church of Ephesus, Paul writes to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what he wants us to do. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, back to the church Corinth, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. First Corinthians chapter 3:1-3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? See the problem? See the problem? In 1 Corinthians, there are 16 chapters correcting the practices, the evil practices of the Church of Corinth. Don't you think it'd be strange that that's the only book that speaks of the tongues? We are to speak words easy to understand. We are not to be seeking some special gifts. God has blessed us with His power, with His wisdom and strength. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, and is convinced of all, he is judged all of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. We don't need confusion. And this may surprise you, but again, where was the problem that we had? The problem that God had to send Paul to correct was in the church of Corinth. And in the church of Corinth, he makes a statement. And he says, let your women keep silent in the church. Do you realize that so many of the false religions that we have today are started by women? And it's not that women cannot speak and participate in the study of God's Word. But I believe that the reason that he makes this reference is because they were the ones that were trying to speak in tongues all the time. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18 through 20. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Paul was an apostle. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words of an unknown tongue. You see how Paul looks at it? Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Grow up. Grow up. Just continue to have to deal with that situation. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 7. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherein he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the purpose of, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, the cunning of craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The precious statement that Paul makes here is always clear and simple. It is never set for confusion. It is never set for self-edification. So we need to really look at some of these things that men continue to promote. Do they really bring honor and glory to God? As Paul said, I would rather speak five words than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. So what value is there? What value? My dear friend, please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You look to him for his power and his strength. And don't try to continue to plead for some gift or special power that you desire to have. I want the wisdom of God. I want the power of God. And whatever we can have and do, it should always be to the glory of God, not to the glory of man, not to the glory of me, but to the glory of God. So think on those things, because I want you to stand, and I want you, and we're going to continue here, because they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? I cannot believe how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we are born. There was the purpose of it, period. That was the reason for it. The Church of Corinth went off the rails trying to do something, and it was just bringing honor and glory to themselves. I want you to see that. I want you to understand that. It was such a miracle because they could hear it that even some questioned, others mocking, said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up, lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judah and all of Jerusalem, hearken unto these words. Hearken unto these words. They're not drunken. It's the third hour of the day. And we're going to start there. It's kind of where we got to last time. But I wanted you to really, really go through so that you spend time honoring and glorifying God, not praising yourself in some way. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?